Lord, I know you can do anything. I know you're all powerful. I really need your help right now. But not my will, but yours be done. J-box, that kind of place. It's a Gethsemane place. And the angel of the Lord said, "What's your name?" Not because God didn't know Jacob's name, but because Jacob needed to confront his nature. I'm a heel grabber. I'm Jacob. That's who I am. He was tricky Jacob. Always able to get out of a mess. Clever. Knew how to make things happen. Knew how to get people on his side. I once heard Bob Mumford say, the great Bob Mumford, I used to love Bob Mumford's teaching. I heard Bob Mumford say, and I've never forgotten this, he said, if we fix the fix that God fixes, he fixes another fix that we can't fix. Did you hear that? And you know what happened at Jabbok? Jacob came to the end of his fixes. He came to the end of his fixes. You see, God was calling Jacob to see himself. To see himself. God was getting to the root of Jacob's problem. And let me tell you, family, when God does surgery on your soul, he cuts all the way to the bone. Ooh, he cuts all the way to the bone. And if we say, wait, stop there, I just want a little surface thing done, then God's going to have to fix another fix that we can't fix. And he'll do that. He'll take you around the mountain again until you allow him to do surgery at that deepest level of your soul that cuts all the way to the bone, and where you have no more prayers to pray. You have no more words. It's just, oh God! God says, Jacob, you have gotten so good at blaming everybody else for your problems in life. You've gotten so good at pointing the finger at everybody else and pointing out how they've failed you. Your father failed you because of his partiality. He always loved your brother more than you. Your father failed you. Your brother failed you because he had a bad attitude and he was bitter toward you. Your mother failed you because she was manipulative just like you, and she was a bad example for you. And your uncle Laban failed you because he's a camel trader and he's deceptive and he's a con man. But Jacob, I'm not asking you about all the people who failed you. I'm saying, Jacob, who are you? Jacob, what's your name? What's your identity? Jacob, I'm not dealing with all those other people. I'm dealing with you tonight at J-Bach. Who are you? What's your name, Jacob? Listen, dear ones. What you learn in life is that we all have people who have failed us. We all do. We all have people that have not done right toward us. But what we also learn is that somewhere along the way, I embraced the sin. See, one of the things I've learned about counseling with people is when someone comes to my office and they need help with something and they start telling me what their mother did, their father did, somebody else did, their ex did, somebody did. And I listen to that. And as they tell me their story, I listen. But then I ask them a question. So, when did you embrace the sin? You see, things like a wounded soul. Things like a wounded soul. We tend to want to deal with those things by just soothing, being very soothing. And there's a place for that. There's a place for kindness, of course. Compassion. Just kindness and compassion. But at some point, we never get healed in our soul until it comes to the cross. And so I always ask this question. I understand that. I hear you. But when did you embrace the sin? Because somewhere you embraced it. Yeah, your dad did wrong. When did you start doing wrong toward him? When did that happen? Well, my dad did wrong. Yeah, but when did you pick up that offense? When did you internalize that? When did that happen within you? We often don't look at that. My ex did me wrong. I understand. Sounds like they really did. When did you pick up that offense? When did you start sinning? When did you start carrying that? See, we may be born, any of us may be born with a family flaw, something in us that's a predisposition toward unrighteousness. But you know what? A family disposition does not force me to be stubborn. It doesn't. A family flaw does not force me to be unforgiving. A family predisposition does not force me to be addicted or to be angry or to be a procrastinator or to be depressed. It does not force me to be that way. Somewhere I've got to own that. I can't say, my dad did this, my mom did this, therefore I'm addicted. Therefore, I'm a procrastinator. Therefore, whatever. Fill in the blank. You see what I'm saying? Until we say, I am the man, we don't get fixed in those places. Somewhere, we have to own it. And we have to stop pointing the finger at other people. Somewhere we have to say, when did I make this my problem? When did I take this as my own? And Jacob at Jabbok cried out, and he said, I will not let go unless you bless me. Let me tell you something. Be careful if you pray that prayer. Be careful about praying that prayer. I will not let go until you bless me. Because God did bless Jacob, but he blessed him in two ways at Jabbok. The first way was that God gave Jacob the possibility of a new beginning. He said, your name was Jacob, but it's going to be Israel now. Israel is a tricky word in the Hebrew. It's not a real easy word for us to figure out what it means, but it probably means something like prince with God. A prince with God. That's a big deal. I'm going to give you a new beginning. You were a heel grabber. I'm going to give you the possibility of being a prince with God. God gave him the possibility of a new beginning. That's a great blessing. Here's the other part of the blessing, though. He broke Jacob irreparably. He broke Jacob in a way that could not be fixed. Have you ever prayed for blessing and God breaks you? Yeah. Now this was the ultimate injury. This was the ultimate injury. He was crippled by Almighty God. He was maimed for life from this time on. You will always walk with a limp. You're never going to get healed from it. You're going to walk with a limp the rest of your life. But I love this verse 31. He crossed over Penuel as the sun rose on him the next day, and he limped. He limped. He walked with a limp. And he would never recover. Pray that you never recover from the limp that God puts in your soul. Pray that you never recover from it. Let me tell you something else about a limp in the soul. Never trust a pastor that doesn't walk with a limp. Never trust a teacher that doesn't walk with a limp. Never trust a leader that doesn't walk with a limp. Pastor Elias, you and I have to remember this. Never put anybody in leadership that doesn't walk with a limp. If they don't walk with a limp, I don't want them in leadership. If they're full of themselves, if they're cocky and full of themselves, I'm not going to put them in leadership. I only want people in leadership who walk with a limp. Jacob, dear Jacob. Jacob had been arrogant. He had been self-sufficient. And now we see him struggling to walk. He can't walk straight anymore for the rest of his life. Jabbok, the name of the stream, the name Jabbok means a pouring forth. What I see is a lot had to be poured out of Jacob at Jabbok. A lot had to be poured out at Jabbok. Years of guilt had to be poured out at Jabbok. Deep soul ties with his mother. He'd been a mama's boy. Deep soul ties with his mother had to be poured out at Jabbok. Anger toward his father, toward his brother, had to be poured out at Jabbok. Shame. The shame of his past had to be poured out at Jabbok. He had to stop sitting in judgment of himself. You know, sometimes that's one of the biggest deals for us to face. We put ourselves up on the throne and pronounce ourselves guilty, even when God says, "You're forgiven." And sometimes I think the Lord would say to us, get off that throne and let me get on the throne, and you receive my grace now. Shame had to be poured out. Shame for so many things he had done to manipulate other people, to use other people, to get his way. Regret had to be poured out for all the disobedience that had been part of his life. His resentment toward other people had to be poured out. A broken self-esteem had to be poured out. Michelle, I'm going to ask you to come right now, if you would, please. A verse that I thought of that I wanted to wrap us up with is in Matthew 21, verse 44. Jesus says, whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Did you hear that? You know what that's telling us? We better fall on the rock instead of the rock falling on us. Fall on the rock. It says, if you fall on the rock, you're going to be broken. You're going to have a limp in your thigh. But that's better than the judgment of God. Fall on the rock. Allow it to happen. I think God's calling many of us today to Jabbok. It's not a comfortable place. It's not an easy. I didn't say it was easy. In fact, I'm not saying it's easy at all. I'm saying it's a hard place to come to. And I think we can choose to come or we can choose to flee from Jabbok. That's our choice. I'm just saying the Lord invites you to that deepest surgery of the soul. And let me just say this before Michelle leads us in a time of worship and reflection. Just respond. Respond to the Lord. This is not a usual how many people are going to come forward or how many people are going to stand up. If your response is to kneel where you are, that's fine. If you want to respond by standing before the Lord in a posture of surrender, that's good. If you want to come down front here, there's a big open area down front here for you to come to the cross. Do that. If you want to, whatever feels right to you in responding, I want you to do that. I realize this is not a traditional altar call, but I think it's the Lord's call to us. And as Michelle leads us, and as you're singing, just respond. You can come down, you can kneel where you are, you can just sit in your seat if you want to. You respond as you need to, okay?
In the pressing, you are made.